kindly requested to come closer. Please be careful of those who are still performing the Salah. If you're intending to stay for the program, please ensure that our vehicles are parked correctly. If you haven't parked your vehicles correctly, please move your vehicle. If you're obstructing somebody, park it correctly and then return for the program, inshallah.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. سليمان بن عبد الملك is about the sixth Khalifa in the Islamic history. So we arrived at Medina Munawwara and he inquired, is there any person alive who had seen the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum? When Abu Hazim radiallahu anhu was brought in, so he asked Abu Hazim, what is this? You're being so rude, unethical. I've arrived in Medina Munawwara. I am the king. And you haven't come yet to see me. So he replied, I beg your pardon. Before this day, you didn't know me. And I hadn't seen you. So when you didn't know me, and I hadn't seen you, then there is nothing about being unethical and rude. Well, he was caught unawares by such a straight answer, and people that were around, Zuhri, etc., all supported what Abu Hazim had to say. So he had to quickly divert the whole discussion. Now, so in the first account, being the king, in the presence of all the ministers, advisors, and he was silenced, so he had to divert the whole line of discussion. So he inquired, why is it that we are so afraid of death? When we hear about death, see a janaza, then why are we so scared about it? Every second person is talking about gymming, dieting, health advisors. You saw someone old, what tips you got for health, good health. So that's the general concern in most people. But the greater concern is not about the good health and the gymming. The greater concern is the preparation. One way or the other, all are going, came to leave. So the concern, the greater, the dominant concern must be that am I prepared at this moment, if something has to happen, said, am I prepared or not prepared? That's supposed to be the dominant thought. But because of some reasons, the main thought in this day, main concern, is my health, number one, and my material prosperity. How's it? How's the shares? How's the investments? Are they growing well or not? And if everything is going well, then you see a bright and a radiant face. And if things are not working out, then it's just going down. I think nearly every day I have to repeat this lesson to many people. You know, things are not so well. Business is going down. So I ask them, but are you eating well? Have you got a roof over your head? Are you digesting well? That's enough. Tomorrow is another day. Now you're worried about 20 years from now, what's going to happen to my child and my grandchild? Iska kya hoga? Right? And most of us, we see by our third generation, there wasn't much. But then the second generation prospered, then we also prospered, inshallah, and the generation after us will also be in prosperity. But the greater concern is, what have we done for our preparation? We'll be there all alone and boxed up from all sides, no access to the world and not to any entertainment and no comfort. And then, phir us waqt hamara kya hoga? What's going to happen to us at that critical moment? Are we going to go right or not right? Just go to the prison and see how people are living there. People that are bedridden in hospitals, see how they are. We've got another opportunity of life. What are we doing? That's supposed to be the greater thought, the greater concern. That's why the hadith says that the most intelligent person is that person, أَكْسَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ. He is in a state of preparation. He's got his ducks in the row, everything is cleared up, and he's prepared. If Malakul Maut has to come now, then he's ready to see him. A few days ago, a student, young, and you know we have this virus, etc. So he was on the last throes of death. So he confided in his father that, you know, Malakul Maut had visited me. We became the best of friends, handsome, good-looking, and looking forward to the trip now. Now, if you prepare yourself, then تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. The Malaika come, and they come and give you that comfort, nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid about. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاكُمْ. We are your friends, coming in beautiful appearances, friendlier than friendly, lovelier than lovely. They're so lovely and friendly, they'll make you forget your children and your wife. You know, the things that are most dear to you, your wife, children, your parents. But those malaika will come in that form, they will make you forget about your children, about your wife, and the dearest of the dear. But then, you have to play your part. أَكْسَرُهُمْ zikran lilmaut. What preparations have you made? So nonetheless, coming back to the story, so Abu Hazim says, it's not a big deal, it's a simple thing for you to understand. The house that we are moving to, we demolished that house. And the house that we had to leave, we flourished it. Made it look smart, nice, attractive, comfortable, luxurious. Like. So we are hesitant to leave the luxury, and we are not looking forward to the desolate place. But we made desolate, we demolished, that we're not looking forward to. But what we made flourishing, attractive, and good-looking, that, so even if there's a funeral or something, we want to joke or something, and keep ourselves cheered up, as though hame kuch marna nahi, as though we're not going to die. Remember, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi alayhi, he's the contemporary of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he's the person for whom the Mubarak hand of Rasul-e-Pasim had come out. The love that he had the expression of his love, the poetry that he recited on that, say, fi halatil bu'di ruhi kuntu ursilaha. Says, when I was away in Sham, wherever I was, and when I wanted to extend my salutations, I used to come in my, spiritually I used to come and convey the salams. Hadhihi dawlatul ashbar. Now I've come in my physical form now to extend my greetings. But what love, what muhabbat, the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah Paksam was extended. Approximately 70,000 people were in the masjid at the time and all seen this, including Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. So they asked him, when this karamat took place, so Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah says, see, I don't want to be a target of self-admiration. People saw this, and they saw this miracle or this karamat at my hands. So I'm going to get a lot of respect, and I can get caught into self-admiration. So whoever seen this, they must tramp my head and then leave. So they asked Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, but why didn't you tramp this person's head when he denounced? He says, these people, yet to undead, these people are blind. They didn't know the maqam of this person yet. They didn't know how great he was. I know his maqam. He said, did you also long for this? He said, you're asking about me longing for this. The malaika in the skies, they were envious about what they had seen. So, coming back, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi, so you can understand now what was his maqam and position in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, being from the family of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, I've seen this part of the proximity to Allah Ta'ala, I've seen it. The highs and the lows, the length and the breadth, I've seen it through and through, I've seen it. But what expedites this journey is two things. Love with respect, and number two, kindness. Love with respect and humility, and number two is kindness. This is the two elementary things that expedite this journey. You go in, and you go in very well. Love, with respect and humility. And number two is acts of kindness. So if you look in the hadith and the stories of the pious, you'll find most of them had gone through because of this. Whether it was love and respect with humility, or it was acts of kindness, that's the thing that pushed them. But that has to be supported with appreciation. Appreciate the favors of Allah Ta'ala at any given time. You appreciate by looking at those that are below you, not at those that are above you. Especially when it comes to wealth, popularity, etc. Then look at people that are below, not those that are above you. You know, you'll be looking at people that are above you, then you'll be always constantly in a state of anxiety, worry, and you feel miserable. Person is so wealthy, is so prosperous, and there's so much of publicity about this person, and me, I got no show. So you'll always be in a state of anxiety, worry, and you feel miserable about yourself. But when you see those that are lower than you in wealth or prosperity or in publicity, then you'll be always a happy person. You compare yourself with the brothers that are living in the informal settlement, how they're living, what they've got, what have they got anything to live up to. And many of them are better Muslims than us. I know of people that are living in these conditions. They come to the madrasa now and then, but they don't want anything. Just want to see the environment, meet the ulama and go. But then you get to know that some of them recite one complete Quran every day. One person confided about his uncle. He says, the Quran just flows in his tongue. And when he goes to the toilet, he has to put a pin or something just to lock his jaw so that the Quran says it doesn't continue whilst he's in the toilet. Now, we look down upon them, but do we look at the brighter side of these people? So, coming back to the story, says Abu Hazim, then he's asked, the second question is asked, and, you know, I wonder how we will meet Allah Ta'ala. We drop dead, right? And what will be meeting like? How will we meet Allah Ta'ala? Isn't that an interesting moment? All the culmination of life that we worked for, what we sweated for, what we perspired for, we swore someone, we were disappointed, we fought, we took them to court, we flew here and there for that which we fought. But now, what will be the culmination of all this thing here as we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will that meeting take place? How will it be? One person was caught up in some virus, epidemic virus, contagious sickness, whatever. And he was getting quite serious. So his friends, etc., came up and they tried to comfort him. Don't worry, bhai. Everything is right. The doctor's reports are good. Obviously, when a person is in that state, he'll live for as long as it is decreed for him. He's not going to live more or less. Whatever is destined, he'll live. It isn't that the medication will increase his life, and it isn't that the abstinence will decrease his life. What is destined will happen. لا يستأخرون الساعة ولا يستقدمون. You can't advance the time, nor can you go before the time. You can't go before, you can't delay. It's going to happen at that hour. So now, he's lying in that state, weak, drained out, losing his energy. Now, the Islamic teaching is, even in that state, give him some support. The teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. No problem, it's just a purification process. It's a process that you're going through. So don't be concerned about it. Just a purification. So purification can have a lot of meanings. One is, there's a bug within you, so this is a purification process that's going to be flushed out of you. Another meaning for a purification process, before you meet Allah Ta'ala will purify you. But the person that is in that state, you are giving him some hope. And that's the teaching of the hadith. But brothers, please, we need to learn these things. Until and unless we don't sit, don't join the right people, we don't understand the right application. So the right application comes when we are sitting with the right type of people. But anybody and everybody listening to that station and that radio and this person here, this bayan and that person, it muddles the mind. The mind becomes like a kachuma. But he said this and he said this and that was now. We don't know where to place things. So now that happens because we wanted some entertainment in our life. We don't want Islam, but we want some entertainment. That's why we listen to this radio, that one, this person, bayan, something here. So the whole mind is getting into a muddle, getting into a kachumar. There's no direction. So the direction comes, the right direction with the right type of people. And how will you know that it's the right type of person? The hadith gives about 3-4 pointers. His greater interest is the hereafter. Main concern is the hereafter. That's جَعَلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا. That's the main concern. He may be doing business and living, but that's by the way. So the greatest concern is the hereafter. Am I spoiling that? Am I disrupting my hereafter? Am I getting my namaz right? Did I make ghibat of anybody this day? Did I despise and look down upon anybody? Did I rob and cheat anybody? Was I dishonest to anybody? So that's the greater concern. About 2 months back, there was a new Muslim, a madrasa from Inanda. So the ustad, it's part of the course. They teach them whatever they need to teach them, Quran Sharif, a bit of fiqh, a bit of hadith, they teach them all that. But also conscientize them about the hereafter. You must know, a Muslim must understand, I'm going to stand before Allah Ta'ala, kullum aati yawm al-qiyamati farda, bare and alone. No influences, no affluence, no influence. All alone. I'm going to come before Allah Ta'ala. So you can't use any contacts, you can't use your wealth, no support. All alone. So you rather get your acts right here than going that side, understanding that you are in a problem. So get everything right here. So he went up to the ustad and he says to ustad, you know what, give me a day off. I'm going to go to Inanda. I went to the Bengali shop and I paid 20 rands and he gave me change for 200 rands. So now this happened about 1 year ago. I became Muslim now. Now I understand that this is something, it's a reality. I can't hide this. I thought I was doing very good. But I understood and I put myself into a problem. So let me go and sort this thing out, then I'll come back. But you see that consciousness, that is the thing that gripped his heart. And that is the thing that is appreciated by Allah Ta'ala. How conscious are you about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَا يَزُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ You're worried now, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's going to happen to the work? What's happening to the business? But tomorrow, kal kya hoga? Are you concerned about that? What's going to happen to you? What's your future like? Is that the predominant thought or fikr? So this youngster was quite ill, Diyoban, Darun Diyoban, quite ill. And youngsters came in, gave him some support. Don't worry, you'll come right. And you know your friend was also in the same sickness like you. He had also some epidemic, whatever it was, virus, whatever. And he is recovered fully. So he says to them, those people that are giving him a support, encouragement, speaking a lie. This person that you're talking about, he's dead. And I can see in front of me. I can see him, he's in Jannah. I can see in front of me. He's in front of me. So he's in a position to distinguish those that are gone and those that are around. You know, it just reminds you of the ayat, Nada ashabul arafi rijala ya'rifunahum. Ya'rifuna kullam bisimahum. You know, people in the hereafter, by the marks, they'll be able to identify ye jannati hai or ye jahannami hai. Just by the marks. Make out. Like how in the airport, any person makes out, this is an official, right? Don't you make out official, this is a police. And if in that situation the person is in handcuffs, then you know he's a criminal, don't you? So with the marks they'll identify, he's a jannati here or he's a jahannami here. So I can identify, he's a jannati and I can see in front of me and you're bluffing me. Right? And don't tell me now I'll get right. Now I can hear the malaika saying, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا نحن أولياؤكم. I can hear the malaika saying, don't fright and don't stress, because we around, we are friends, we're lovelier than lovely, we're dearer than dear, we're beautiful, more dear, beautiful than beautiful, we are around. So you don't need to stress. Anyway, the person passed away. He was coming from Afghanistan. They buried him there. But now the families got to know. They came in to Diyoban, and he's buried about 8-9 months or a year later. They came in. So now we're going to see the body. Now, people coming from the village, you can't fight with them. They got that village mentality. I'm not telling them, you can't exhume the grave now. It's finished now, khalas. So anyway, they got their way. They exhumed the grave as fresh as like the body was loaded yesterday. But now the strange part was, there was fragrance of musk just coming out. You know, you hear the Gaza stories. So this is also a type of a shaheed. You pass away in the epidemic, you're also a shaheed. Yeah. So nothing to be afraid about. Saad ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, when he was struck in that epidemic, right? So people want to say, no, you go back, Medina, everything will come right. No, no, boy. Don't call me back now. I want to pass away in here, in this sickness, I want to die. Because he knows what the sawab. He knows that the sawab is identical to the sawab of a shaheed. So why are you depriving me? So now you move away from the environment, go into a clear place. I want to pass away. So now they give you that smell of farig, that musk, irresistible. Eventually, they got their way around, they put him into a coffin, they take him all the way to Afghanistan. Now, as they come to the border, the customs, the immigration, they're saying, no, you people are smuggling some scent here, musk, you're smuggling. So no, you've got nothing to hide. Open the thing. You open, saw the body. Now they saw it here, they saw it, that's it. But simultaneously, one person was studying some medicine or something in Ireland or somewhere, whatever, was studying there, and he died as well. When he died, so they flew the body down. Now when the body arrived here, it came just about 2 days after the person died. There was such a strong stench, you know. Body's lying here, But the stench could get right out of the masjid. So bad, so terrible. So, this person died and he liked what he was going through because he had the yaqeen in the promise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is also a shahadat. He had the yaqeen, so Allah Ta'ala saw him in that way. And this person here, he didn't like the meeting of Allah Ta'ala. He detested that. He was just after some material and he died in that state. So then you get that type of consequence. So all of us like this, right? That we die, that's the most crucial moment. In fact, that is the thing that we are working towards. So now the idea is then how do we get that? We spoke about some stories, right? But how do we get this? So Sulaiman asked Abu Hazim, alright, you know, it'll be so exciting if we knew how we'll meet Allah Ta'ala. So you know, there's nothing for you to worry about, nothing to stress about. تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ Right? And these people that live right, as they're coming to the end, right? Then they're coming to the end in such a state, as though it's a long lost friend, right? Imagine your friend, poor dear, right? Or your wife went for Hajj, right? She went with her brother for Hajj. They spent about 2 months there. And, you know, your attachment, every day you're phoning. And now she's just arriving in Shaka now. Kya hoga? What will be the meeting like? So, the meeting is so exciting. I want to get there. I want to meet those people. Those people on that side want to meet you, and you want to meet them. So that meeting is so exciting. It's not like 2 months. 2 months is too small. Can you imagine now, those on that side are longing to meet you, and you are longing to meet them. She says, that's how it's going to be. So, تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الطَّيِّبِينَ يَقُولُنَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ Receive the salams from Allah Ta'ala. سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ Receive Allah Ta'ala salams. Allah Ta'ala is passing the salams to you. And the one that is sinful, disregarding the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, violating his command, right? And how he meets Allah Ta'ala, is like a runaway captive, you know, running away for his life. And there's a search hunt behind him. Hey, look for this person here, look for him. He's trying to escape here, escape there. But where can he escape? Can you escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can't escape. Can you escape the malaika? You can't escape them. So he's in such a stressful condition. So let's make that meeting a great meeting. Let's make that meeting a beautiful meeting. Now, what do we do to make that meeting beautiful? It's a long topic, but now I have to, nowadays, to just make it very brief, just encapsulate it, right? What's the time? 20 past. There was a discussion going on in the presence of Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali. Right. So now first understand who is this person, then you understand the statement that is coming from him. So Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana, he is the contemporary of Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now who is Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali? So you can understand their statements if you understand the personality. But if you understand the personality, can you appreciate the statements? So the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is that person, if he just wanted to see Rasulullah Pak Sarsam, all he needed to just close his eyes and they see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was the Shah Waliullah Sahib. He was that person that presently approximately over 80% of people that are studying Hadith, they study and relate Hadith to his chain. You know, you are connecting it right unto Rasulullah Pak Sarsam, but he's coming on the chain. So approximately 80% of the Muslim world today, the hadith go through the same chain. So can you imagine now what an accepted personality this person must have been? Shah Waliullah Sahib. Our Deobandi thought follows the same line. Shah Waliullah Sahib. That's how we follow. We say, now, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? That's the line that we take. So Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib used to speak about Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullah Ali, that Allah Ta'ala has shown me all the saints, all the awliya of the time. Like how you see the lines on your palm. You know, I can see all the awliya, wherever they sit, I can see. Allah Ta'ala has shown it to me. But today, Mirza Mazhar ki tarah koi nahi. There's nobody at the level of Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He's at that level. So now understand who this person is, right? Very straight person, very, very refined temperament. Temperament is extremely refined. Very straight as well. This one story of his refinement. So he had one murid, but he was a little bit extra healthy, you know. And now, a lot of murids, they want to make khidmat. Make some khidmat. So he also offered, he's on the case of Mirza Sahib, I want to do some khidmat. Some offer me, accept me for your khidmat. Now when he's pestering after some time, he says, you know what? In the past, you used to come and visit me twice in the year. Right? And now, I will ask you to come just once in the year. And he thought, get in for some khidmat, he'll have more time with his sheikh. The sheikh said, come once a year. So, the reason is that, you see, you're too healthy. When you're too healthy, when I see you, then I feel nauseated. I'm saying, hey, the man is too healthy. So I feel nauseated. And to overcome that nausea, then I have to take laxatives. Now, I was much healthier and younger, right? And I could manage taking laxatives twice in the year. Now I can't manage it. So once in the year, all right, I'll have to clean myself. That's manageable. But doing it twice in the year is too much for me. So a man with a very, very refined temperament, I just want to show the person himself, right? So there's a discussion in his presence that, you know, we all want that lucky moment, right? But it is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the lucky moment is very much concealed. The lucky person and the lucky moment is very much concealed. Like how you will conceal your young daughter. You won't let her run around, right? Whether in pedal or tennis, whatever. But you won't expose her. Because you've got a deep down respect for her. She mustn't be seen by all and sundry. You've got attachment for her respect, for her integrity, for her shame, etc. But she mustn't become the admiration of the public. She mustn't be like that. So similar is the relationship with Allah Ta'ala's saintly persons, that He conceals them. Many of them He conceals them, some of them He exposes, but most of them He conceals them, so nobody gets to know who they are. Now that's known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why He conceals them, but He conceals them. Nobody must know. Very few people will get to know, but most people will not know. So same with times, right? That Mubarak time, the time for acceptance, that also is concealed. We hear about Laylatul Qadr, right? But is it moment, is it confirmed that this is that Laylatul Qadr, this is that acceptance moment? No. Allah Pak has kept it very discreet, so nobody knows about it, right? There is the moment in Jummah where du'as are answered, right? Between Asr and Maghrib, the time the du'as are answered, some say it is around the time of the khutbah, but obviously around the time of the khutbah, you can't make a verbal du'a. You have to make du'a in your mind. But the other time that most ulama prefer is the time between Asr and Maghrib. One moment is going to be a lucky moment. You got it. You lost out. But Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, He conceals this time. Right? Why He conceals it, He knows it best. Right? But He conceals it. Right? So the time is concealed. But what a blessing that person appreciates the time. You know, just between Asr and Maghrib. And you made the dua and strike the lucky time. Tumhara pura mustaqbil ban gaya. Your whole future is made. You got the time and you struck at that time. Then your whole life is made. But then that requires that we exploit, we appreciate that moment. You don't expect Allah Ta'ala to run, come running behind you, no. You need to run behind him. He's kept a moment. He's already mentioned that he's got a moment where the du'as are going to be accepted. But what, when is it? Between Asr and Maghrib. So that's the time that there'll be a lucky moment. There's going to be a lucky moment in the last 10 days of Ramadan. But what's going to happen? When it's going to happen? Allah Pak knows. So these special moments, Allah Ta'ala keeps it discreet. So now there's a discussion in the company of a Mirza Sahib. You know, it's that lucky moment, you get it. Tumhara pura kaam ban gaya. Dunya is made, akhirat is made, children are made, everything is made. But get that lucky moment. And Allah Pak is already telling you that that moment is going to be between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday. So that moment, just look out for that moment. Just keep remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, zikr, dua. See that from that Asr to Maghrib, you don't lose out. And nowadays, the Asr is quite late, 4:30. Right? And around 20 to 6 is Maghrib, isn't it? So it's not too long. Just about an hour after Asr. That's all you have to wait. And you're sitting in that position, don't worry about who's coming in the masjid and who's going and what's happening, the fan is on or not, windows are closed. When you came for the work, see that that work is accomplished. In any masjid here or anywhere, we respect these places. We respect, it doesn't mean it's an occasion now to shout and laugh, etc. No. It's a house of Allah Ta'ala. You respect this house, Allah Pak will respect your house. You take care of Allah Pak's house, Allah Pak will take care of your house. I remember I had to make one nikah. I think it was in West Street, I think it was. So that Abdul Rahim Khan, accountant, right? His son, and he asked me to do the nikah. But the respect the man had, that doesn't leave my mind. It was about over 30 years, I think, 25 years ago, I had to do the nikah. So after the nikah, Khan Sahib, he held his son's hand, came right out of the masjid, and met him, said, now you can carry on. And I could understand why he did this. Just to maintain the sanctity of the masjid. He didn't allow anybody to violate the sanctity because he's the show now. The groom is the show and everybody wants to meet him, talk and laugh, etc. So why violate the sanctity of the masjid and lose the blessings of this nikah? So he held his child's hand out of the masjid and he spoke there. I can remember very clearly. But from that day I appreciate the man that he respected the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a discussion carrying on now, that if anybody got that moment, then what will he ask for? Kya puchoge? Supermarket mil jaye. Some said, alright, we'll ask, what we'll ask for is that we live and die with Iman. Great. So then all of them turned towards Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now he's the greatest saint of the time. So they asked him, all right, what will you ask for? If you got that lucky moment now, what will you ask for? So very humbly he says, I'll ask, if I need to ask, I'll ask for the association and the muhabbat of the righteous, the awliya. Now, Al-Mu'tamid Sabrahmi quotes this incident and he says, after that he says, why, from all things, why does he ask for this? So there's two answers in my mind. One is this, that if you got the real association, you got the love with them for the right reasons. Not because he's a wali, I'll make dua, so mera dukaan chal jayega, my investment kabhi khatam nahi hoga, not because of that. You got it only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You got an attachment, but for what? For the love of Allah Ta'ala, not for any worldly material reasons. So if you got that, right, then tumhara dunya ban gaya aur tumhari akhirat ban gayi. Iman salamat rahega. If you got that real attachment for the right reasons, your iman is right, your dunya is right, your akhirat is right. Because Rasulullah is guaranteeing, al-mar'u ma'aman ahab. Man will be in the company of the people that he loved. Right? As the Shaykh al-Hadith, he comments on this. Everybody is anxious. You know, this moment here, everybody is anxious for. So he comments on the same incident. He says, See, all of us, we can only reach to a certain point. So much we can do. Someone can become halfway as Mulana, Mufti Sahib, Qari Sahib. Right? That's what he can do. But now, to be in a position to get the virtue of all, you want investments in every company, not just limited in one. Right? You want to secure your business in every front. Here, America, Australia, India, everywhere. Every you want it, right? So how is that? That's going to be possible. How is it going to be possible to join up with these people? And that muhabbat must be real. That muhabbat mustn't be just a superficial, artificial muhabbat. It must be a real muhabbat. You don't say real muhabbat. Real muhabbat means real muhabbat. It's something else. Hazrat Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, her father Abu Sufyan is not yet Muslim, right? I'll just mention the story at the end of the talk now. So he comes for some negotiations with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not yet Muslim. Later on he accepted Islam. So he comes first to the house of his daughter Umm Habiba. Right? And when he comes in, then instead of her opening the carpet for him to sit down, she rolls it up. She rolls it up. You know, your father or someone important in your life comes in, then you show him some ikram, some respect. So now, instead of her opening it up and showing that ikram, she rolled it up, not allowing him to sit here. So he exclaimed, I don't know if I'm not fit to sit here, or this carpet is not fit for me. So no, this is reserved for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you aren't a Muslim yet, you don't deserve this respect. Now that's called respect, that's called muhabbat. See that your actions, your ways, your mannerisms will reflect the love that you have got. That the muhabbat is deep, entrenched, then your actions, your muhabbat, your ways, all will show that muhabbat. So Allah Ta'ala grant us this muhabbat, this love for this awliya ikram, so that we can be with them in this life. If they are gone, then spiritually we are with them. We are connected with them spiritually, and in the hereafter, inshallah, we'll be with them. Allah Baki accept us all. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulul Kareem. Wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam tughfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina. Wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi ibadika as-salihin. وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين ومتوفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.